Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called Transform the Energy of Money. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the line this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, David DeAngelis, also known as the Money Shaman. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the line for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking David a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the site by you, our listeners. Now, this topic, just to give you a bit of background, has probably been one of the most subscribed calls that we've ever done through the People You Should Meet series. And I think this whole area of money and transforming the energy of money is a whole area that's of particular fascination for people. And I guess given the current context and how the world's changing so quickly, more and more people are looking to really explore this area and start looking at it in a new and transformative way. Now, I've actually known David probably for a number of years now, 4 or 5 years now, and we've actually collaborated for many of those years that we've known each other in a whole series of different ways, from workshops to retreats to teleseminar programs to running networking nights to creating products and programs. We really had a very amazing collaboration and working relationship over the past 4 or so years. And I have to say that David has actually been one of the most incredible people to work with for me personally, and also a real great teacher of mine, and he's enabled me to transform in ways I couldn't imagine, and he's really had a profound impact on my life, and certainly I get to witness the profound impact that he has on students and people that we work with as well. Now, David is an internationally renowned speaker. He's also a shaman and an incredible coach as well, and does give me great pleasure to welcome to the call my very dear friend and our guest this evening, David DeAngelis. Welcome, David.
Hey, Damien. It's great to be here and good to hear your voice on the end. We actually talk sometimes for about an hour a day, don't we? So this is... feels like just normal, us having a chat. So our chats are always like... I don't think I've ever had a talk with you that hasn't been on an incredibly uplifting and deep level. So, you know, that's your gift to me. So thank you, Damien.
Now, as I said just before, David, this topic has been phenomenally hot for people, and we've had a really remarkable sign-up. And I guess one of the burning questions that most people will have on the call is really, I guess, understanding this whole concept of money being an energetic force. And I just wanted to just start us off by asking, what exactly is the energy of money, and how would someone actually go about transforming it?
Well, that's an absolutely superb question to kick off with, Damo. What is energy? We actually don't know what it is. That's the fantastic thing about energy. And, you know, science will talk about energy, and we hear a lot about energy, and we hear a lot about this thing called the mind. But really, all we know about energy is actually housed in the realm of thought. And we could say that mind is just a mass of thought. And yet, energy doesn't arise from thought. You know, it's not, it's a property of the one universal principle. It arises out of the oneness. So in the real answer to that, nobody actually knows what energy is. So when we use energy, this word, it's often misconstrued. Now, I'm going to use it in terms of a pattern or a flow or a kind of, like a holding pattern. That's how I'm going to use energy in the context of this conversation. So a pattern is something that repeats itself, and it's something that can be actually recognized. It can be either felt, it can be seen, or it can be heard. You know, it's actually something that's registered through our senses. So that's first of all off how I'm going to use this word energy and how that relates to what I'm saying. Now, the current energy of money, as we see it playing out in the world at the moment, is actually centered in my belief and actually my knowing around a complete misconception about power. And if you look out into the world, what you see at the moment is that the two biggest money-making activities in the world today are actually the armaments industry and the oil industry. And, you know, if you, it's quite an amazing thing, really. I mean, you know, in many sense, you could say that one is actually fueling the other. Now, I can remember actually reading something, and it was from, I can't remember whose name it was now, but it was something that really struck me at the time. And it was from someone who, I think he was a leading economist or something like that. And he said that you can't, or it's almost impossible to even go and buy an apple these days without actually funding the arms industry. So really, such is that complex web, you know, of shares and trading and the whole obscurity of these industries and how they are interwoven into our money markets and this somehow this strange flow of blips that go around the world that have a kind of value to them, that we've placed a value on them. Now, the other thing to realize about money at the moment is really, you know, if we look back along the history of money, really the absolute untold tears and misery that are centered around the belief that money is power. And, you know, we can go back to these kind of areas of value and what people perceived as value. And when the conquistadors entered the Americas and just saw an absolute abundance of gold, and interestingly noted that the tribes people there, the native people there, didn't actually have any idea that gold was something valuable. They had not placed a meaning of value upon that substance. And then, you know, from there, the kind of plundering of those treasures, and, you know, from there on, really, I mean, certainly it happened before then, but it was the first time we saw this notion of completely rampant power created inflation in Europe with this influx of gold. And, you know, in a sense, what we've done is that by some strange way of manipulating these values, so this value that's placed on money, this idea of value, this concept of value, this belief of it, we've actually created money as a god, or in some instances we've given money the dominion of God, and we've turned money into God. You know, in a sense we've turned our back on the divine principle, and we've given money that as you know, we turn money into that. So from there, almost by some kind of strange osmosis, we perceive that, you know, people that possess lots of money or the acquisition of lots of money therefore gives those people godlike attributes. And, you know, and for me, that creates a kind of dark dream around the idea of money. So in a way, what we've done, we've elevated the idea of money. That actually, you know, in and of itself is nothing. It's just a thought. It's just an idea. And we, over the years, we've all come to search for some kind of meaning of our life, our existence. We're all looking for something, searching for something, you know, searching to scratch that itch in something that can never, ever give us the answer. You know, so in a way, the energy of money as it stands at the moment is a kind of anti-enchantment with life. It's a disenchantment. You know, we search for that expression of our true nature in an idea that actually hasn't got any ability to deliver it to us. So in that respect, money is actually centered around force, you know, and in particular, domination. You know, it's an expression, you know, of that kind of shadow principle. You know, it's, and in some ways, we could say that in definite ways, not in some ways, you know, in many parts of the world, money actually brokers whether people live or die. You know, and we've seen it facilitate suffering, separation, limitation, and fear for like literally millions upon millions of people. So, you know, that's an overview. I mean, it doesn't mean that every single person that's rich or every single person that's involved with money is actually doing that, actively creating that suffering, you know, as a conscious thing. But nevertheless, the system as it's created perpetuates, whether we like it or not, actually perpetuates a lot of suffering around the world. And in many respects, to just go on a little bit further, you know, if I may, Damien, on this,
absolutely.
You know, the idea of the original abundance of life is actually, if you go back and you look through, you know, to all of the early definitions of abundance. I mean, you know, the goddess of abundance was a goddess. So it's interesting. I think the statistics are that it's a crazy statistic. It's like 99%, well, actually 99.9%, I think, something like that, of all the money in the world is controlled by men. Now, that's a very interesting thing in and of itself. Now, you know, when money is actually centered around this notion of domination, what we see is this whole force principle. Now, the true meaning of abundance, the true abundance of life, is actually unconditional love. And unconditional love resides out of the realms of thoughts and things. It is ineffable. It's truth. And truth doesn't need thoughts or beliefs or anything for it to be true. Truth is self-evident. And unconditional love is the self-evident thing that everything emanates from. You know, we actually feel this. This is our natural condition always already. And the importance about that is that it's given and given and given. And it never, ever needs force. It is ever abundant and it never depletes in any way. So, you know, I suppose you could say that when our understanding, when our meaning, when the meaning of money is centered on the true abundance of life, the feminine flow that facilitates life, you know, that is the same as the blood that moves through our bodies. And it moves through our bodies without our effort. You know, the oxygen we breathe moves into our lungs without our effort for the most part. You know, the very awareness in which everything is experienced is that natural abundance. And, you know, really what we're talking about here is a reconnection with that natural state that we all are in, but at the moment is covered up by, like I said, it's like a kind of dark dream, and we all experience it. It's happening to us all, and we all feel that. You know, it's absolutely palpable around money, and you know, by the response that we've got to this call, I just know that people are just so want to let go of that, and so want to let go of that limitation and that holding on, and I do not believe that it's inherent in the whole system that we have to suffer. I believe there is a very different way for us to work with money, which I'm sure we'll talk about further on in the call.
Mm. Well, look, I have been a student of money and business for much of my life, and I guess what you've actually managed to synthesize in just 10 minutes of discussion is really incredibly profound. And I guess for those of you at home listening to this, David and I actually facilitate a lot of work together, and every time we do facilitate work together, I actually stand not only as a facilitator but also as a student, because even though we do speak so often on the phone, basically like every time I hear David speak, I learn something that really touches me in a very deep way and opens up profound thinking and, yeah, just makes me see the world in a much more inspiring way. But it's such a rich terrain of different concepts and thoughts and ideas for us all to think about. Now, David, you are also known as the money shaman. I was just wondering if we can now just explore how you actually received this title and, maybe share a little bit more about your own journey in terms of understanding money and working with money.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's a great question, and it's one, you know, obviously I get asked quite a lot. And interestingly, in the last year, I would say that I have deeply questioned, you know, my authenticity and authority to actually call myself that name. In many ways, money has been my shadow, my nemesis. You know, it's been a tremendous invoker of my own misery and unhappiness. You know, it's actually, and I don't mean that in a negative way, and I mean this in really the most profound way. That, in a sense, what it's allowed me to do, it's allowed me to actually touch. It's facilitated me touching the depths of my own despair. And also the my own ability to completely sabotage my life, you know, and those around me. And, you know, I'm not pointing the finger at money. It's just that, you know, what I spoke about earlier in terms of money really connecting to that shadow principle. I mean, and often consciousness, God, life, the abundance of life, the principle of life, uses the shadow to help us evolve. It is a principle that is active in nature, in life, you know, and it's not something that's wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, the only thing that happens is when we become fixated with it. It's like we become bound into a spell. So in a sense, money has enabled me to touch the very depths of the sorrow, the deep sorrow that was lodged in my being, and in my own way of seeing that wasn't necessarily even a personal sorrow. It was like a deep sorrow for all the suffering that we've caused each other over the centuries, really, and all of the sorrows and the hurts that we literally perpetuate upon ourselves and upon those around us and you know, unconsciously in most respects, you know. So in terms of shamanism, you know, I really began looking at shamanism and spirituality probably when I was about 14. You know, I was given a book by a kind of rogue teacher at my school who shouldn't, according to the authorities, have been giving out books at all to his students. But he gave me a book by Carlos Castaneda called The Teachings of Don Juan. And, you know, there's been so much said about Castaneda over the years, how he's a fraud, how he's a, you know, he wasn't, Don Juan didn't exist. That is completely irrelevant for me. What that book did, it actually illuminated the reality that we see is just literally a dream. It's an illusion that we create. It's not any more real than a dream, in essence. And what that did in reading that material, it literally lit a fire within me. And it sparked a quest to find out why we saw what we see, what we see, why we believe what we believe, why our hearts yearn for something that we can't even necessarily explain what it is. We feel a yearning, all of us, a deep yearning to come home. And my question was always, what is it that I want to come home to? What is it that I want to come home to? And that was the fire that was lit within me. And, you know, over the years, I've looked at all of this very deeply. I've gone, you know, I'm the sort of person that when the fire gets lit, I go so far into it. I want to find out what I can about it. And, you know, as well as through art and through movement and different energy and meditation practices, you know, I've also sat with some, you know, really, truly great shamans and you know, practiced with their medicine plants. And in a sense, like the key here is the word medicine. And when I started to look and I thought actually to create a sacred plant medicine, it takes great commitment, you know, and somehow this completely unassuming vine or a leaf or a spiky plant, you know, becomes an elixir. It becomes an elixir that facilitates us touching the wonder of life. You know, it removes those veils that stop us seeing how miraculous life is. And from there, really, my own belief came that we can turn anything that's manifest on this earth can become an elixir. There is no, and I've learned this also from, you know, the shamans and shamans, whichever side of the Atlantic you're from, you want to call it. I've learned this from them that, you know, a medicine, you know, even a panacea, something that has the ability to really heal on a deep level, you know, it's possible to create that from anything. And, you know, I, through my own sense of real suffering and lack through this energy, this idea, this concept of money, it became something that grew in me as a possibility of creating an elixir for money or around money, and using my skills, my knowledge of energy practices, of creativity, of vibrational medicines, vibrational healing, to actually turn money into a mechanism of transformation. You know, it just so happens that sits in the concept of money, you know. And the other thing, I've actually worked with people who've been engaged in this activity, you know, and I've been totally amazed at the profound changes that can happen when you work with money in this way, when you augment money towards love and wonder and freedom. You know, it becomes an enhancement, a tool for the enhancement of life. And, you know, it, in a way, I've tried to let go of this money shame and thing. You know, I have tried to let it go, and I've tried to say, you know, even though I feel a fraud being calling myself a money shaman. And as you know, Damien, I'm just finishing off a book that's due to be released very soon, that kind of documents the last year of my life. And this goes through some very, very powerful revelations and distinctions and ideas and ways to work with money that really bring this whole thing to life, which in a sense it's so simple, but it's too vast at the moment to encapsulate on one call, in a way. So in a sense, that money shaman thing is how I see my role in this life, is to help quicken this enhancement and that facilitation. So you know, I don't know how, I hope that explains something, how it all came about. So
absolutely. I guess I've been witness to it, this whole unfolding of the money shaman brand, and seeing you share your gifts as well. And actually, not only that, I guess I get to see lots of different people share their gifts and their divine gifts with the world. And in you, I see a complete calling. It's almost like you've moved to a stage where it's totally non-negotiable. Like you're in a terrain that you've been called into for whatever reason. And I guess there are many people around the world that look to you for real guidance in this area, and real inspiration and real clarity of thought. And it's certainly very, very powerful for me to bear witness to that as well. And I guess the other really interesting statistic there about the whole notion that 99% of the money on the planet is actually controlled by the masculine energy. And I read another interesting statistic recently as well about the whole notion of money, and how of all the money sort of spinning around the money markets around the world, only about 1% or 2% of it is actually in currency form. So most of it's actually just electronic digits that just get fired around all over the place, and only 1% or 2% of it is actually in physical hard cash. So largely, money as a physical construct doesn't exist either. Like it's just something that we've all collectively believed in. And I was just wondering, in terms of shifting the beliefs around money, like we mentioned in the call promo about this whole notion of the miraculous substance, and how this miraculous substance can actually be, I guess, have a real transformative effect in the world and actually raise the level of consciousness in the world. And I was just wondering if you could go a little bit deeper into how that's actually possible.
Well, I let me just explain this through a story that I'd like to share with you, about someone that contacted me that was in, you know, I suppose you could only say he was in a terrible state of anxiety and fear around money that he owed to various people. big corporations, et cetera, who were literally hounding him day and night for this money and threatening him with all kinds of nasty legal action and what have you. And this was someone who was actually, you know, registered as ill. This was someone who was, you know, literally, in my opinion, a wonderful person trying to do amazing stuff in the world. And, you know, what I said to him was that, in a sense, don't pay that money back. Don't pay it back as an act of absolute self-love. You know, drop all the suffering you've got around that money as an act of self-love. And, you know, just trust that. And it seemed like such an illogical thing to say. It's, you know, even coming out of my lips, it sounded like, what am I telling this guy to do? I'm telling him to literally end up in court with losing his house and all of that. Why am I telling him that? But that, those words just literally came out of my mouth. And really what came through, I'll tell you in a little while what happened after that, but really this changing of money into a miraculous subject to help literally raise consciousness, it takes place through our own healing, you know, and our own capacity to express deep self-love, you know, to act in alignment with self-love. You know, I think that's the first step. You know, it's the very first step. And what's been happening, and I see this again and again and again, that money is actually a trigger for people to direct tremendous criticism, unhappiness, misery, self-deprecation towards themselves. So the very first port of call is your own being, your own radiance. And, you know, even if you can't, even if you don't know that that radiance is there, even if you cannot have any concept of that radiance, just know that it is there. You don't even have to understand how to connect with it. You just need to know that it is there. And in really giving yourself that opportunity to have a deep self-love for yourself and to have a deep self-love around the money that you have. Now, what I said to this guy, and again, it seems like completely mad advice, you know, and you know, this is probably where I differ from financial. I'm not here as a financial advisor. I've got nothing to do with that. I mean, the whole world of financial advisors and mortgages and all of that, I've got not a clue. I don't, you know, that is not the level that I'm working on. You know, that is a whole kind of different language. And we could go into that, you know, why that's a kind of veiled alien language that none of us understand. But anyway, so the point was that I said to this person, every piece of money that comes your way, every piece of money, no matter how small that money is, I want you to invest that money in an act of self-love, no matter how small that is, whether that's buying some delicious food for yourself that nourishes you, that actually helps your body to feel abundant, whether that is treating your kids to something, or whether that is connecting more deeply with your wife, or whatever that is, you know, that gives you that feeling that there is real love in you, you know, whatever that is. You start to use money and you start to use money on yourself first. You give to yourself first. And, you know, there's always, many of us know this adage that if you're in a plane and the oxygen mask comes down, you put it over yourself first, even if there's a child sitting next to you. So the most important thing is, in working with money and working with this energy of money, what we're actually doing is we're transforming what money means. And all motivation is centered around meaning. And when we change the meaning that something has for us, it means that we're literally reconfiguring the story we have created around money. And when money has the meaning of self-love and self-giving and nourishment and life-affirming qualities to it, then what we find is that we naturally move towards those things. Now, in this guy's case, he took my advice, and what he found was in actually giving primarily that self-love to himself, the phone calls literally stopped happening. You know, people have been absolutely hounding him. And then for a week, he didn't get any phone calls. And he was like, my goodness, what's happening? I don't understand it. And he continued with this. And he continued with this. It was really like, it was a bit like the invisible becoming the visible. And the more he gave to himself and really put himself absolutely first, and gave himself that first love, suddenly what he found was that he found there was actual motivation in him, a motivation to create something, to create opportunities. And also what he saw as a result of that, he saw that he felt better in himself. He felt more alive. And he started to actually notice opportunities, you know, notice opportunities where actually he'd seen limitations and no possibilities, endings, you know. So this is the first step in turning money into something miraculous. The first step, the first port of call, you know, is ourselves. Now, I don't know whether you want me to carry on. I mean, I've got other tips. Would you like me to carry on, or would you?
Absolutely. I think it's phenomenal. Keep going.
Okay. Right. Now, the second thing that will literally bring about a transformation is our ability to focus on clarity. When we demand clarity, for this self-love, our own self-love. We demand that we have clarity. And what this does, it ends the realm of confusion that's causing us suffering. Now, clarity means that we stop placing our attention on the things that cause confusion, and we ask specifically for clarity. So, for example, on a very basic level, when we receive a statement from the bank or something that we don't understand, we demand clarity. We demand to know exactly what's happening, exactly all of the forces that are in play from that. We demand absolute clarity. And in that demanding of clarity, what we discover is that people will start to give us more of what we need. And we move away from this lack, this feeling that we can't ask for us to have the things that we actually need to make our lives work. And when we see, like, for example, just in seeing how much you're being charged for something, how much interest you're being charged, so your head's no longer in the fog, you know, you're no longer lost in this, like I said before, this alien language. And what you'll find is that the system, as it stands, it's all working perfectly. Now, that's the other thing, that's the next step forward, is to realize that all of these things that we call the enemy, all of these things that are supposedly against us and hindering us, are actually working perfectly. They are doing exactly what they're supposed to do in the world, no more, no less. When we understand that, we see that all of the adversities in our lives, all of the things that we perceive are holding us back, are actually an invitation for us to wake up to our own true nature. They're actually an invitation. Now, this has an even bigger implication, because it actually means that truth is present in everything. You know, if we dare to look, truth is present in absolutely everything. And what this initial act of self-love and this initial strengthening of our own being, our own inner spirit, what this allows us to do, it allows us to actually look at the truth. It gives us the power to look at the truth of what we're creating. And this is something that in these systems beautifully do, because they're always trying to point us away from the truth. Okay? They're trying to point us away from the truth. But when we have that self-love and we have that clarity, and we have invested in our life first, we then are strong to look at the truth. And then when we begin to look at the truth and we begin to look at what is actually going on for our lives, how we are creating the illusions and the dreams and the suffering ourselves first, then the medicine begins to taste sweet. And, you know, again, I worked with a wonderful shaman that said that, you know, medicine doesn't have to taste bitter. You know, it can be sweet. It's only an idea that it has to taste nasty. And when we start to move on those lines, we see that the thing that we thought was the nasty tasting medicine becomes a sweet tasting medicine, because it's our opportunity to see how we're creating our own suffering. You know, so all of these things are actually there to facilitate our growth. You know, so, you know, just a few things to really get people, you know, in alignment with how to work with this system, you know, because it all seems as if it's against us, but actually it isn't, you know. And as soon as we unplug from that, we realize that, you know, the truth is always available for us. We just have to look for it. So, you know, so I hope that gives you some idea of how we move forward with that a little bit.
Well, that's amazing. I'm certainly inspired. Okay, David, I mentioned earlier on that this has been one of our most subscribed calls, and we had questions come in from all around the world. And I just thought I would kick off by asking a question on the perception of money. Now, we all have perceptions around money, and as I mentioned before, it's almost like it's an invisible force in a lot of ways. And this question actually comes from Christine, and Christine's in the United Kingdom. And Christine asks, what is the simplest method we can use that works to change how we perceive money?
Wow, that is a fantastic question. Well, I suppose that, you know, if you look back at some of the points that I've covered before, you know, this idea of meaning and stories, and really what we're doing in changing the meanings of money and looking at how we can create different opportunities to express ourselves as abundant human beings. One of the things that I really came to see, certainly over the last year of working very deeply with perceptions and how things are viewed in the world and how changing one's perception really can bring about tremendous transformations. I started to look at the people that I really felt had done amazing things in the world and had, you know, enormous amounts of power, you know, life force energy in them. And it was so interesting to look at this, because like, the majority of them actually placed no real emphasis on money. And what they found was that really money was just something that facilitated their discovery and their opening of what life is really about. And, you know, really one of the most powerful things you can do is to look at money, that any money that comes your way, as something that actually facilitates, is there, actually there specifically to facilitate your transformation. And then in turn, to enable you to facilitate in whichever way you please. It doesn't mean you have to go out into the world and do, you know, take tents to Africa or whatever. You don't have to do that. It means that as you become touched by the greater force of life and you feel that as a perceptible presence in your life, then that becomes a possibility that you have for other people too. So I would say that you know, very powerfully, to see money as something that facilitates your growth and your absolute discovery and enjoyment of life is something that will really change that energy for you. And, you know, I know through my own very, very distinct and very real experience of having literally no money, that I can remember walking around with not a single penny in my pocket for weeks, and, you know, not even having enough money to buy a bus fare to get to somewhere. And, you know, in going down to that bottom where we're all afraid, you know, we're so afraid of something. Well, what is it we're afraid of? What is it we're afraid to go down to? And actually, we're afraid to go down to the things that really make us human. And that includes the things that we don't want to see sometimes. And there's great fear. We're actually taught to be afraid of our own humanity. We're taught to ignore our intuition. We're taught that actually anything that can't be proved in a scientific way and verifiable isn't real. And, you know, and I just offer this out, that actually the thing that we're all afraid to go down to is our own humanity and to see it there in its barest form. And actually, when you get down there and you see it, you realize that the only thing that's waiting for you at the bottom is love, you know. And I'm not saying this as some rich person that's making huge amounts of money and, you know, looking down and saying, oh, well, look, you should, it's all about love, you know, and I'm saying that for some elevated position. I'm not at all. I'm saying that from someone who's had absolute direct experience of having nothing at all and actually not even having enough money to put food on the table. So I don't say that from a light perspective. And I really feel that we, when we see that what we can go down to is actually our own beauty, then we're not afraid of that anymore. You know, and we're afraid of living. And I think when money is about facilitating our absolute embrace of life, is to facilitate us embracing every single moment of our lives, then it becomes a miraculous substance because we make it so, we define it so. And it also unplugs us from the past as well, because we have that, like I said earlier, we have that motivation. That motivation isn't our motivation, though. You know, we perceive that this will that we have in ourselves is our will. But if you actually go back and you keep going back and you keep going back, you'll find that that's actually the same will that moves the wind through the trees. That's the same will that makes animals run freely in the field. It's the same will that runs water into the ocean. You know, and we discover that in those places that we may feel are the most frightening, are the places we don't want to go, we find that will exists there and it can rise up from there. So, you know, don't be afraid of our own humanity and what money has the ability, the current energy of money, it tends to strip us of that, of our humanity. It makes us afraid of who we are. And, you know, I just think really understanding that the place that we're all afraid to go to isn't frightening at all. There is no fear there. There's only love waiting for us. And, you know, that may sound like an illogical thing to say when you see people on the street hungry, but I can tell you from my own experience and from being, you know, not on the streets per se, but having spent time on the streets with no money and not even enough money to eat, I can tell you that place of fear, when it's really experienced and looked at, not through the eyes of the system, but through our own eyes, there's just deep love there. It's not frightening. There's no fear.
Wow, that is phenomenal. What a beautiful thought that all that's ever waiting for us is love. Absolutely amazing. Now, this question actually comes from Robin in the United States, and Robin asks, do our souls have a karmic imprint or energy that we bring with us relating to worthiness as it relates to money and abundance? What is the clearing and restitution process for this?
Wow, that is a phenomenal question. we probably need about two or three calls just to answer that one. Well, I can give you my own slant on it, and the slant that I've taken from the especially from the shamanic work that I've done over the years. And really, what I notice is that we have this thing of DNA, the replicator DNA, moving through time. Replicating itself, and there's certain characteristics that we inherit through our genes that move through time, regardless of whether we believe there's a soul or a spirit or whatever. So that seems to happen. And but the other thing that becomes apparent when you work on a more spiritual level, or you work in the other realms of consciousness that aren't necessarily manifest on the physical plane, but nonetheless as real as anything, or more real often than anything that is, what you see clearly is that there's actually patterns. And there's energetic, using this word energetic as meaning flows of patterns, repetitions, that will travel through time as well. And whether you want to believe this or not, I mean, this, you can look at this metaphorically, or you can look at it as an actual real thing. But if we go back to past lives, and in effect, we've all had past lives, because our bodies are made of the same atoms that were in stars, you know, so we've all been practically everything. We've all been stars, the atoms that are in us now. And, you know, in a matter of weeks, the atoms that are in our bodies now will already have traveled through us and be forming something else. So in that sense, we're all reincarnating into all these different things all the time. And, you know, in the human form, there seems to be some kind of patterns that repeat through generations, that repeat culturally, and these things can play themselves out. Now, one of the things that I noticed in my own experience was the energy pattern of the saboteur, and this came up very strongly for me and has done over the years, and and I'm sure many people can relate to this that are listening to the call. Now, the saboteur is a particularly interesting pattern or energetic pattern, because it tends to be sort of anti-life, for want of a better way of putting it, and it would seem to arise whenever we are about to do something that really becomes life-enhancing. The saboteur will kick in and we'll say the wrong thing, we'll ruin that opportunity, we'll become ill, we'll, you know, all sorts of things can crop up to sabotage us really touching our own beauty and our own wonder. And I'm sure we've all experienced that from time to time. And there are other things too, you know, there is the pattern of illness, the dis-ease, of fear, of discomfort, all of these kind of things. But in my case, the saboteur was something that I got a strong sense was something traveling through a family lineage. And you know, when I looked back over the history of my certainly my father's side of the family, I noticed this pattern playing itself out, and it played itself out in my father a lot in his life, certainly my grandfather, and from what I could gather talking to my grandfather from his father too. So this was something that was very strong in terms of. And, you know, and I, not even knowing my great-grandfather, you know, it seemed that there was certain characteristics that I was enacting out that were very similar to him. So one of the ways that we can actually break this pattern is firstly to shine light on it. And it's a bit like when you actually expose something, it's very difficult for that to keep playing out. And, you know, an energy, these kind of energies that come in and often cause a tremendous amount of trouble and discomfort in our lives actually rely on us on being out of our field of vision. And it's very interesting how, you know, often we look at other people and we can clearly see the energies, the patterns that are playing out in their lives, and yet they're completely invisible to them. And that is the same for all of us. So, you know, the first thing is to become aware that this thing is actually playing itself out. And what the way around that is to literally to bring your awareness to it and expose it, and to shine the light of truth again, the light of integrity on that particular part of yourself that you want to heal. Now, the truth is a wonderful healer. It is the healer that really, I suppose, at the end of it all, no matter what we might say about our lives and who we are, at the end of all of our lives, we are only left with the truth of what actually happened and who we are. There's nothing beyond that. And to really connect with your own truth, and to admit your truth and admit the things that you feel are causing you discomfort, and to shine light on those things and not to shy away from them is really the process of healing. And these things rely, they skip through time and generations, they're unnoticed. And you often see this in whole cultures that play out certain aspects of these holding patterns that play out. So the very simple thing is to recognize that is something that's present in you, that's playing itself out, and in many ways to just send that part of yourself love, and not to create a hatred for that part of yourself. You know, to realize that part of yourself is actually really also just trying to go home. You know, everything is actually on its way home. You know, I think Terence McKenna said to the, what do you call it, the transcendental light or something at the end of time. You know, that's a beautiful way of describing it. Everything is actually on its way home, moving us towards that ultimate realization of who we are. And these things are no different. It's just that they've become distorted along the way. So just send them love, recognize that they're there, and actively, own, just let them be released by the light of your awareness. You know, you don't have to go to mediums or anything like that. A good shaman, well, that's all it will do. Something like ayahuasca, for example, an amazing medicine plant. Ayahuasca will literally lovingly and compassionately show you where these parts of your personality are causing you suffering. It will make no attempt to actually correct that other than what you do for yourself to shine light on it. So that's how I would deal with that particular thing.
Well, Dave, we're actually we're coming to the end of the hour, and what can I say? You've certainly shined your light on us this evening, and also illuminated an area that's can be very confusing for people. And rather than actually deal with it at a mind level, like I feel that you've really enabled us all to take a breath and a step back from that, and actually to look at it in a more loving and more compassionate way, and possibly in a way that many people listening this evening may have never heard before. Now, I know that there are many people on this call who will actually want to continue their journey learning the incredible wisdom that you have to share. And I know that you have a few different products that literally have transformed people's lives all over the world. And I was just wondering if you could actually share a little bit of information about those different products and how they actually serve people.
Yeah, sure. I mean, firstly, as I mentioned, very shortly, I've got a new book coming out, which do keep an eye out for that. And I'll let you know when that's going to happen. And like I said, that's going to contain a lot of amazing information around what I've been talking about tonight, and really how we can step into that whole realm of creating money as something miraculous in our lives and transforming it. The other way that people can do immediately is to just really rack up to my website, which is www.themoneyshaman.com. And on there you'll see, there's a whole load of stuff. I mean, there's loads of great free audios that you can listen to and videos that you can watch. Also, you'll notice that there's various products, and probably the product that is closest to my heart is called Secrets of the Money Shamans. And that was something that was really how the whole, in a sense, it's sort of how this whole money shaman journey came about. And, it documents how to really, again, connect with this new way of working with money, and to really understand how to unplug from that world of fear and struggle, and to stop struggling in your life and really, step into that true abundance of life and start creating the things that you really want in your life. So I'd highly recommend that for anyone that is ready to make that kind of next step in their life. The other product that I'd like to mention is called Slowing, the Secret of Slowing Time. And that really, it's a very magical product, and it's something that I I've always delighted in. And it's really, again, looking at how we can remove our energy from these systems that are causing us so much anxiety and suffering, and really connect again with our true nature, which is actually, you know, abundantly is abundant with time. And you know, I know in our culture at the moment there's such fear around time and running out of time, and people just feel that they just don't have time to do the things that they really want in their life. And so this product is a way to really realign you with your own true abundance of time. So that's something if you really want to do something with that. And that's www.slowingtime.com. And then one of the other things that people may be interested in is a thing that I've created called the Debt Buster Kit. Now this is kind of both, it's a spiritual and a practical and emotional. I mean, it carries all those three different things for people, and it really looks as if it's about if you've just reached the point where you want to understand, you know, the dynamics of how debt is impacting on your life, and you're really ready to stop that happening, you know, and you're ready to step into a very different way of working with money and get these people off your back, for goodness sake, because, you know, they I really believe that this whole thing of compound interest is really nasty, and it causes so much unhappiness. And again, this is just, it's just an idea. And one of the key things that I talk about in the Debt Buster is how to stop paying all this rotten interest, you know, that gets slapped on, and all of these charges, how to stop being caught out by that. It's a simple process. I'll take you all the way through the process. It's two CDs worth. It's a booklet. It's a great product. I'm very proud of it myself. So, and I've used it and used it and used it on countless people to help them unplug from debt. So that is www.debtbusterkit.com. So those are just three. There's a few other things, but I'm sure we haven't got time to go through all of them, Damien. I think that kind of covers it in a way.
Great. Excellent. Well, we're literally coming home. We are at the end of the hour. And what an amazing feeling it is to come home to our true divine nature and create a space in the world for others to really experience that in a way that is just full of love and harmony and peace, and also a space of bringing about new possibilities in the world. Now, David, I just wanted to just thank you for sharing the last hour with us. Like, I'm actually very fortunate that I get to speak to you every single day, or virtually every single day, and hear your wisdom. But for me personally, like, I've taken away so many new insights, so many new distinctions that will really help me to grow as a human being, and also master different elements of my life. And I have no doubt that many people on the call will be echoing my sentiments as well. So just on behalf of everyone, I just really wanted to just say thank you, and to also honour you for heeding the call of becoming the money shaman, and for sharing this insightful work with the world. It really is incredibly inspiring.
Oh, thanks, Damo. I mean, it really is something. Like I said, I've tried to not do it many times, and it's just where consciousness is guiding me. And you know, at the end, when we're presented with the grace of consciousness, the grace of love, the grace of God, we have no ability to refuse that. It is the most amazing thing in life, you know. So I don't even consider that I'm doing it. It's just something that's happening, and you know, and my absolute commitment is that it facilitates people to really feel free in their lives, and go and do the things that they most want in life, because we're all here. And life is actually a gift, and any concept other than that is just a falsity. So I do believe it's our absolute innate, it's innate in all of us to experience that absolute gift of life and know it, more importantly. So, but thank you for giving me the platform, Damien. You are a true star, I have to say. the people you should meet is actually, I was looking at it the other day, and I thought, my goodness, it is really just such a phenomenal resource. I just take my hat off to you, absolutely, for your commitment to it. So thank you once again.
Thank you. I just echo your words as well. I just feel like it's just life playing through me. It's almost like I have no control over it, no influence over it. It just wants to express itself, and I just feel very blessed that I get to share it with all my friends around the world. Great. Now, for people who have listened to this call and would like to listen to it again, we will be making it available free of charge on the People You Should Meet recordings page first thing tomorrow morning. Now, if it is something that I recommend each and every single one of you listen to many, many times, because there are so many profound insights in it that could really shape your life, just really allow it to permeate every cell in your body. Also, if you feel this recording could really change the life of a loved one or a friend of yours, by all means, take that step forward and actually share the recording with them. Like so often, we feel reluctant to step forward and share incredible things that we discover. And I guess what we're doing with People You Should Meet is really creating a platform for people to actually take those steps forward and be proactive and actually make a real difference. First of all, in the lives of people that they're connected with, but also in the world as a whole as well. So if you do feel that urge to step forward and share this work with people, then I encourage you to take that step and heed that call and just go forward and do it. Great. So that really brings us to the end of the show. And David, once again, it's a deep privilege of mine to be a friend of yours and get to collaborate on so many wonderful projects, and also to see the wonderful work that you're doing in the world. And I look forward to having you back on the People You Should Meet program very soon.
Thanks, Damo. Blessings to you all.
And thank you, everyone at home. It's an absolute pleasure for me to be of service in this way, and I really hope that everything that we share with you is really having a difference in your life. So take care, and we look forward to having you on another program soon. Good night.